City.
Hey, everybody, from that nightclub at the end of the world. Yeah, man, here we are again. It's Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, coming to you on the 16th of June in the year 2013. Yeah, what a week. I gave a quote in the bump with Gary before the show started. It's a quote I just heard today for the first time, attributed to Gerald Celente. When people have nothing left to lose, they really lose it. And that's good, and it's funny, and it's correct, and we are seeing that exemplified all over the world, especially by the heroic people of Turkey. But I might rephrase that by saying that when people lose everything, they also lose their fear of taking decisive and committed action. And that also seems to be what happens when you get when you get pushed to a certain point, things start to happen. On Facebook, someone was referring to what's going on, and there's a lot going on. We're going to cover that. This is a do-or-die moment. Someone was referring to this as a revolution, you know, one of those big things that happens in Russia or China or the colonies, you know. But I replied that no, there has never, ever, ever been any situation like this in the history of our species, petroleum man, Homo sapiens. On these events and on these days that are happening right now and on these actions rest the death or extermination not only of all of us, but also of all life on the planet. That kind of a situation has never, ever been faced before at any time in human history, and we need to fully let that sink in. Human beings are driving these events, and hopefully human beings can derail them and choose a different set. But even if that fails, everything will depend upon how we live our lives between this moment and the time judgment is rendered. Another interesting thread that came up this week was in discussing, of course, we've had Guy McPherson on the show several times, and his stuff's been all over my Facebook page, and he's lecturing all over the place. And we had to reinforce, you know, the fact that extinction in North America of all life by 2030 is now a scientific certainty. 4 degrees centigrade is cooked in. That's what we are facing. And isn't it interesting how the pressure of all of that now seems to be dawning, and I am seeing signs of major changes taking place. I'm not going to prognosticate where they're going to go because it's just real scary out there right now. And I'm saying all this because after I shut off the computer tonight, too, I want to cover this, and I will be away from the computer for the next 6 days, not coming back till next Saturday. I will be going to attend and support at a Sundance in the Black Hills of South Dakota, and that will be the longest I have been offline since 2007. I have been standing this post pretty steadily for you guys, 7 days a week since. And maybe this is the very appropriate time that I do that because I don't know how much more warning I can do or how many more scouting reports I can give. But there are some very interesting things that we want to talk about tonight, and I'm going to run through them. It's been one of those weeks where I normally try to organize all of these quickly, but I've sort of done that. But there's just been devastating things coming clear all over the place. Let's start with this one. Robin Westenra, who does so much good work for us on Facebook and helped us at CollapseNet. Hydraulic, this is from Desdemona Despair, published today. Hydraulic fracturing fuels water fights in U.S. dry spots. We don't want to look at up 20 years from now and say, oops, we used up all our water. What the story says very clearly is what I have been saying to you on the show and on Facebook and in my commentary, that the fresh water all over the world is being stolen from under us much faster than can possibly be said. This is murder. The people using the fresh water for fracking, for shale gas, for ethanol, and for tar sands are sucking the Great Lakes dry. They're just sucking the aquifers dry. That's where a lot of these sinkholes are coming from, also from fracking. But this is an Associated Press story. Associated Press, okay? And it says in Arkansas, Colorado, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, Utah, and Wyoming, the vast majority of the counties where fracking is occurring are also suffering from drought, according to an Associated Press analysis of industry-compiled fracking data and the U.S. Department of Ag's official drought designations. Okay, so The point is now, and this has been the theme all week, and everybody on Facebook gets it, now it's all about self-defense. It is about nothing else. Our lives are in immediate danger, and I think that awareness, too, is certainly growing and present in the supremely courageous people of Turkey who have fought back wave after wave and day after day of brutal assault. We've been carrying as much of the footage and reportage from that as we can on my Facebook page. There is a worldwide support network that has formed for the people in Turkey. But these are, they're just amazingly tough and resilient. They have resisted numerous onslaughts now with chemical agents, pepper spray being now mixed into the water from the water cans, which is causing some serious skin burns. So we've upgraded to chemical warfare, and military troops have been military and paramilitary troops have been placed on the streets. Tomorrow, the two largest public employee unions in Turkey have called for a national general strike. Woohoo! I am just relieved and awestruck that the Turkish people are hanging in there so tough, and the world is uniting around them, because also what hangs with that is the fact that the no-fly zone over Syria is, and I was right when I said this several weeks ago, that the pressure is on and the moves are being made there. So the people of Turkey are literally holding back, I think, the start perhaps of World War III. That's not hyperbole. But let me go through this, because the point I'm weaving is that all of our lives are in danger. And if the Turkish people don't pull this off and make a statement, and the energy and the courage from Turkey is spreading to Sao Paulo, Brazil, major, major violence there, horrible police brutality, that's not making the mainstream at all. But the people in Sao Paulo and now Rio are calling for help. There have been major popular uprisings in Sofia, Bulgaria, where the people's actually, it was an Occupy movement, successfully got a new state security chief, not appointed. But there are large demonstrations occurring in Berlin and many places else. This is not like Occupy, because the people in Turkey are putting up with a lot more than that. So let's go on with this. Now, I mentioned the no-fly, which is directly connected to events in Turkey. Tayyip Erdogan has to get those Turkish situations under control for Turkey, a NATO state, to effectively participate into what is obviously a plan that's already being executed. President Morsi of Egypt, a U.S. puppet, issued a call for a no-fly zone. That's significant because the U.S. and NATO have to go through their – it's a ridiculous, absurd dance, theater of the absurd, but they have to go through their steps. And an Arab League country member has to make a request for intervention, which then goes to the U.N., to NATO. And Morsi has done Obama's bidding, and he's requested the no-fly. The U.S. this week had blazing headlines for a couple days. Assad crosses the red line with sarin gas use. We will intervene. And let's leave aside, we all know that these stories are as concocted as Iraq weapons of mass destruction, the Gulf of Tonkin, et cetera, et cetera. Multiple reports of the rebels using gas. Vladimir Putin bitch slapped David Cameron at a press conference at the G8. And they were standing right side by side on stage, and Putin just said, you know, we armed the lawfully elected regime in Syria in accordance with international law and all treaties and obligations, and your side wants to arm people who take their enemies and cook and eat their organs. That's Al-Qaeda, it was beautiful. But the lines have been drawn, and after this and after the U.S. signal that was going to go to the U.N., Iran, which has just had successful presidential elections, has announced, and now President Bashar al-Assad has confirmed that 4,000 members of Iranian's Revolutionary Guard will be going to aid Bashar al-Assad inside Syria. They will fight, which would make Iran a combatant in this per treaty, as I have been saying for I don't know how many years now. So all these tripwires are being crossed, it will go next to the UN. But it is clear, it's obvious now, that the resolution of the Turkish situation and the move on Assad in Syria are definitely connected. As I said, they were 3 weeks ago. So we wish the Turkish people great good luck and courage, and hope that the whole world and all the energy that is being felt and sent their way, light waves dancing in secret, finds its way to the Turkish people, because the human consciousness, I believe, is starting to understand what it is that's going on here. We are all under a death sentence now. It's clear. And there was a great line that came out of Taksim Square, what was either all of us or none of us. Well, that's kind of a good attitude. 7 billion of us. We need to penetrate that level of consciousness where we all understand that these are not isolated events anymore. It's all the same thing. There was a Supreme Court decision this week, which, God, the spinmeisters and the disinfo people just totally spun out of it. They're issuing all these headlines in the no-brain, no-research, no-critical thinking media. Oh, great victory. Human genes can't be patented. Well, Reuters actually told the story correctly. What the Supreme Court decided unanimously this week was that any gene taken from a human body cannot be patented. It leaves open and protects the right of any gene inserted into a human body to be patented. That case law has not been decided, but it specifically held open that. So those of us who can read, and those of us who can think, can think. And we know that Jenna Orkin at CollapseNet found a great one this week, that glyphosate has been found in like 15% of in human Europe, across Europe, not 15%, from Digital Journal this week. Friends of Earth commissioned a series of 9 urine tests on people 18 in 18 countries. The results were released, and Roundup is turning up in your pee, folks. And you know that the GMO genes are turning up in your body. So what the Supreme Court decision did this week was it protected the right down the road for Monsanto to come and make you a slave, because they found their gene in your body, not that they took one out and tried to put their name on it. 36 people shot and killed in Chicago, in Chicago this weekend. Absolute carnage. That's really up to our first song. I have more bad news, but I'm going to weave this together, and there's something kind of interesting and flavorful, I hope, that will come up at the end of all of this. Carbon dioxide emissions on the planet rose 1.4% in 2012. A new report from the International Energy Agency says. This was a Washington Post story this week. Fadi Birol, who was the chief economist for the IEA, issued this ridiculous quote. He said, the agency said continuing that pace could mean temperature increase over pre-industrial times of as much as 5.3 Celsius, 9 degrees Fahrenheit, which IEA chief economist Fadi Birol warned, quote, would be a disaster for all countries. Oh my God! I could hear Guy McPherson banging his head. Of course, I sent him he got right back on that. You know, so that's what you call human extinction. That's what you call the extinction of all life on the planet. A disaster for all countries, huh? Fadi Birol has not been the most candid of guys. I first started listening to him when I was going to peak oil stuff in 2002 on, and diplomacy anyway. But Guy McPherson brought up an amazing point. He writes, we're in the midst of a worldwide Great Depression, and yet 2008 set a record for carbon emission, which was broken in 2009. The record from 2009 was broken in 2010. The record from 2010 was broken in 2011. The record from 2011 was broken in 2012. He writes, I think I see a pattern. Only complete collapse prevents runaway greenhouse, and it's probably already too late for our species. Now, there were people out there in the early days of peak who said, well, after peak, everything will just slow down and we'll emit less carbon. No. In desperation to chase the illusion of infinite growth and the insanity, the absolute stupidity of the industrial way of life, we have gone to means of extracting energy which, number one, are grossly energy inefficient in terms of the energy return for energy invested, but also in our desperate search to consume energy for the sake of growth, we are going to dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and dirtier methods of obtaining and using the energy. And I have to tip my hat to the people who really saw that clearly years ago. I met Julian Darley of then of Post Carbon, Rich Heinberg, Colin Campbell, and Matt Simmons were all very clear that as decline accelerated, carbon emissions would accelerate as well. We have done nothing to reverse that. So the British corn wheat crop has fallen by a third. That's due to the extreme weather. Everything is conspiring to line up a massive famine along with a massive drought, hitting probably sooner than anybody could think about it. But all things considered, and there's still a lot more very dark news this week, but all things considered, I think it's becoming clear now that there are no more tomorrows, that we can't put this off. In a ham and eggs breakfast, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. And people are starting to act like pigs, which has brought up the whole question of self-defense now. But I would submit that that's the conditions that we're living under. Nothing else needs to be understood but that our lives are in immediate danger. So, with all that being said, I wanted a special song. You're going to love this. The 80s were an amazing time, and I had a lot of fun in the 80s, and lots of energy and lots of good dance music. And there was a great song that came out then from some musical giants named David Bowie and Queen, Freddie Mercury, and it really fits tonight. Let's listen to Under Pressure.
So slashed and torn.
Love.
Under Pressure. Yeah, that was a great song, and they did it well. Thank you, David Bowie. Thank you, Queen. And boy, that really fit in tonight, and I kind of love the way music does that. I'm going to do that for our second song later on, too. So with all of this going on this week, and of course there's the ongoing NSA spying scandal, which I have made clear, you know, there's nothing new being released that I didn't report to you and many other people didn't report to you a decade ago. But it does appear to be, or to have been at some point, an effort to slow down a Barack administration, which is obviously totally maniacally out of control. Not that anybody else is going to be any different. There's a bunch of lunatics there. But the sales of this came up. Zero Hedge caught this. And when we had some breaking stories earlier in the week about Mr. Snowden and the NSA leaks and all that stuff, on top of everything else, sales of George Orwell's 1984 have surged 6,884% in the last 24 hours. Well, better late than never, I guess. But actually, that's good if you take it as a sign that some lights are going on. And once they really start to go on, they tend to go on fairly quickly, and outer events are going to accelerate that. So now let's go on with some of the stuff that's going on. I really wish I had more time to talk tonight about the video that I've watched from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Horrendous violence. I mean, cops threatening journalists with guns, arresting journalists, going through hotels, which also happened in Turkey, just really serious brutality over what's nominally a 20-cent raise in the bus fare, but it's you know, it's the last straw. Let them eat cake. As Brazil is trying to build, you know, a new, I think, $400 million stadium for the World Cup in next year, and they've had enough. And of course, there is a realization now that it's not just about bus fares. And I strongly believe that the energy coming from the courageous people of Turkey has connected, if you will, at a subconscious, subterranean level, with energies in Brazil, which, and I understand that the protests have spread to Rio de Janeiro, but it was a just really shocking video. I mean, the gloves are coming off everywhere. And in the meantime, this week, this is a story from Grand Rapids, Ohio. Radioactive waste unearthed by hydraulic fracturing is becoming a serious problem in Ohio, new report claims. That came out this week. That was a good, solid news story. Now, glyphosate turning up in human urine across Europe. So really what I'm seeing now, and I'm hearing clicking on the line, I hope you guys are not, what's emerging now is that it is, I believe, game on, one way or another. Syria looks to be, everybody's in the starting blocks. The U.S. is definitely going to go move for a no-fly zone, or it's going to the U.N. over the sarin gas. But the politicking is already extremely energetic, let's say. Putin is not behaving. I'm just getting a note from the board here. Okay, I'm just getting a click on my phone. You're not getting around it yet. So, yeah, and we'll hang up a second because we're coming up on a break. But Iran is drawing lines, and Sibel Edmonds had suggested that maybe Putin cut a deal through the Boston bombing to back off. Well, I never believed that Vladimir Putin would honor that. And it looks like Iran is certainly committing to stand now. And if Iran stands with Syria and becomes a combatant in regime change move, then China and Russia will both side with Iran, and so it would be game on. So we are under pressure. And what does that make people do? It makes them wake up. We're going to spend the second half of the show talking about that. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, here with you on a Lifeboat Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. We will be back with you right after these messages. Inside your love. That's In the Sun of Your Love, one of our new songs on our new album, The Age of Authority. I'll have some album notes on that for you soon before we play our second song. You can hear what we've done at newwhitetrash.com, newwhitetrash.com. The album's not for sale yet. It will be soon, thank God, we hope. But you can listen to all of the songs. You can play them, but you can't download them because we haven't got the final masters yet, but you won't be able to tell the difference. So anyway, welcome back. All right, so we've tried to paint a picture in the first half of the show that we are all back to the quarter now. It is do or die now for the human race. It cannot be ignored, and if it is ignored, I don't want you anywhere near around me. I've spent 30 years trying to get people's attention, and so have many others, and we're out of time for persuading people. Either you see that or you don't, but there is a sense, and that's what I feel, as bad as the externals look, there is a sense, a strong one, that a connection is being made between Turkey and the United States and Great Britain. Somebody posted on my Facebook a while ago, David Cameron, Britain will not let you succeed with this treason, talking about Syria. I mean, you can feel the energizing taking place and hopefully the connections taking place. That will lead, we hope, to that 100th monkey situation where we all really don't have any demands but one: stop this bullshit. And the only way to stop this bullshit, and the only way to give us a chance, and the only way for us to live our lives now properly is to really shut down industrial civilization, to shut down this growth beast as fast as possible. And even though mathematically it may not be possible to reverse all of this, this has also been a theme of many discussions this week. Even though that it may not be possible to turn this around, what is important, and this led to some really deep discussions this week, is to live the way we should have been living this whole time. It's not when you die. Everybody's going to die. It's how you live and how you die at the moment of death, which direction your soul and your energy is facing. In a ham and eggs breakfast, that's that old saying, when people lose everything, they really lose it. But this is the moment in time, this crisis, when it comes home to roost. This is what wakes people up. This is what Sun Tzu talked about, if you want the army, a small outnumbered army, to do the impossible, put them in a situation where they will either do it or die, that leave them no way out. And that is beginning to be sensed, and it has been my hope that at some point and the efforts of my life to alert people for all of these decades, you know, has been trying to raise the point in consciousness where people understood, that many of us understood, that our lives were on the line a long time ago when we had more opportunities to do something about it. It's not about punishment now. It's about a spontaneous change. I see we have a caller. I haven't called for callers yet, but Matt from North Carolina, are you there?
Hello, Uncle. I wanted to share a realization that I had recently with you regarding global warming. And, you know, there's a lot of focus on the aspect of carbon emissions. And, you know, we are sucking tremendous amounts of fossil fuel carbons out of the earth and spitting them up into the atmosphere.
Yes, sir.
And yet, you know, when you look at the raw numbers of global carbon, it's relatively speaking not a huge amount. The problem is that it pushes the ability of the earth to sink that carbon out of balance, and so it's carbon in excess of what the planet can reabsorb.
What also happens, however, is that as you chop down the trees and destroy the rainforest, or a huge story this week, like 90,000 acres of arboreal forest in Alberta, Canada, destroyed by toxic chemicals. When you take those trees away, you take the carbon sinks away, you take away the things that eat it.
Yes, that is exactly the point that I was calling to mention, and that's, you know, what I think it's, I think we need to emphasize that as strongly as we emphasize the fact that, you know, carbon emissions went up by 1.4%. It's, you know, by what percentage did we decrease the planet's ability to reabsorb that carbon? And it's a two-pronged thing. It's a positive feedback. On the one hand, the global warming is undermining, you know, forest health and ecosystem health. And additionally, we're chopping down forests to, you know, in chopping down rainforests to put in soybean farms to feed soybeans to cows. And so, you know, you made that connection already, but I just thought it deserved extra emphasis. Because
well, then we both got it. We got it with a 1-2 punch, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's something we can do. You know, we can cut down our carbon usage, but we can also plant trees. We can also do whatever we can to defend the forests and the health of the ecosystem in our communities, and both of that is really important. So thanks for what you do, Mike, and I hope you have a wonderful experience next week.
Thank you. Well, I'll be talking more about that in a few minutes. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been so angry at the words could and can for about the last two decades, because that's all I've ever heard is we could and we can, and there's a lot of those fantasies out there running around now still. But I think most people are coming out of that. I mean, we have passed multiple opportunities to have done something to prevent it. We are still confronted with a hard reality that we have not slowed carbon emissions, that all of these positive feedback loops are accelerating, more are being discovered. The rate at which carbon is being added to the atmosphere is increasing, both as a result of human activity, either in the form of creating, burning, and injecting the carbon, or in the human activity of destroying the living organisms which contain it and help to control it, i.e. trees and green things. But that's, you know, all of those are there, and they're staring us right in the face. So as people have begun throughout the course of this week, and I'm really happy to see this start to sink in. I'm not seeing vehement denial, but what I'm seeing is much more understanding and acceptance of this. I am seeing people say, wow. So it really is a question now of how I live, and it's making people change. Whether it's, I mean, nobody believes anymore that if they recycle or grow their own garden, they're going to stop these processes that nobody bothered to stop anyway. And throughout the course of discussions this week, it turns out that Guy McPherson, Derek Jensen, and I all have exactly the same position on violence. Self-defense is not violence. And there are so many people who have been confused, brainwashed, who have been taught that if you defend your life, you are being violent. That's not violence in the way that violence is meant. That is, you know, that is self-defense, which is instinctive to every creature on the planet. It's instinctive to every one of you and every one of us. It's the inability to understand that that's what is, self-defense is justified. In the ways of the first peoples here on Turtle Island, there were no wars, there were no conquests or anything else. Occasionally there were feuds and there were fights, but almost everything was resolved peacefully. And the warrior's view was that if you got to a point where you had to be violent, you'd failed. And that's still the way that it is. But by the same token, especially all of the first peoples here and everywhere were hunters. So killing was involved in their active living, but their active killing, when it came to food, was an act of partnership and balance and connection with the species whose lives they were taking. They also assumed the obligation to make sure that that species lived and flourished like they did as a result of the recognition of the trade, but they also had the right to defend their family. A warrior puts his body in between the threat and the thing that he or she loves. The three of us were all unanimous standing. No, we are not going to sit here and say we're going to sit there and let us ourselves be shot, because there was a Mozart string quintet playing on as the Jews walked to the showers at Auschwitz. And now understand that this has to do not just with your life, Because if you don't stand up, if human beings do not stand up and do not change this situation, all life will die. So therefore, nonviolence becomes an act of violence because it perpetuates the murder that is already taking place. Now, that doesn't mean you pick up a gun. It means you have a gun if you need one to protect yourself, but those are not the ways, all the ways of struggle. Look at what the people in Turkey are doing. They built some barricades. They threw tear gas canisters back. I'm sorry. Literally, that's violence. You know, they were, you know, there were the provocateurs doing more violent things out there. But you cannot take violence off the table because if you do, you have lost. And the funny thing is, self-defense will demonstrate, almost every one of you, that if you were put in a situation where your life was in danger and you knew you were going to die, you would fight back. Well, hopefully we're all starting to see that now. And hopefully we are. We are waking up to that fact. We have not begun to create yet. And the people of Turkey are inspiring us. The people of Sofia, who actually brought about a change, the people in Sao Paulo, and there's going to be riots everywhere soon enough, of course. We know that. So now we're coming down to the second song of the night and where I'm going. I'm tired. I got to tell you guys, I am emotionally beat to crap. This has been getting ever more intense, and I've been doing this 7 days a week now pretty much for the last 6 years in one way or another, and haven't missed this show. And I just got a message. I'll answer that in a second. And I'm tired, but I also reached a point recently where we had the great show with Sal Giancarelli, a medicine man from the Godfrey Chips family, and he talked so eloquently about the scout, made me cry. You know, I brought back the good reports, but there comes a time it's like, well, I don't need to bring you back scouting reports anymore because it's all visible. And so I'm standing on the edge of this, realizing full well tonight that all of the situations are so grave around the world that anything could happen at any minute. And again, if that no-fly goes and we see Syria, Iran, and Russia, United States, China involved in a conflict there, we can pretty well conclude where that's going. But as we look at it from so many other directions, that's where it's going soon anyway. I've been asked the question, and I'll answer this now twice. What if somebody wants to email me? I cannot give out my direct email. I'm one guy. I have no income, and I can't give out my personal email for obvious reasons. So what I would suggest that you do is you can, if you're on Facebook, you can message me on Facebook. And, you know, maybe I need a volunteer from somewhere to receive emails for me, but I just can't give up my personal because I get about 300 messages a day as it is. I will say, and this is going to lead up to our second New White Trash song tonight, that you can write to me by snail mail, and we do need that now. I've a couple of times over the last 3 years I've had to ask for help, and I need it now. It's, you know, part of it's just living, but also our new album, Inner Reach, New White Trash, we have put the winter and spring into this, and my bandmate, Doug Lewis, I do have an email address, which I'll give you in a second. My bandmate, Doug Lewis, has sunk enormous amounts of money. We are totally invested in this, and we've got an album that's about to get an amazing review, but we're just absolutely broke. I don't know if I can pay the rent next month. I got some car stuff doing. And I won't be getting my small royalty checks for my two books again until October. And, you know, I don't charge for anything here. So, and also you can write if you just want to say hi to me in rags. But I will give you the address because we can certainly use the help. I can use it to pay the rent and help get this album finished. I'm going to play a song from that in just a second. You can write to me at Michael Rupert at 27378. Red Cloud Avenue, 27378 Red Cloud Avenue, in Moffitt, M-O-F-F-A-T, Colorado, here at 8100 feet, 81143, 27378 Red Cloud Avenue, Moffett, Colorado, 81143. We can use your help. You guys have always come through. It's also important to us, even with all this stuff going on, that we carry through with this vision of finishing this album and this incredible body of music. Thanks to my bandmate Doug Lewis and everybody who's pitched in. We got a really killer album here. We want to stay alive to see it done and say we got that taken care of. So anyway, that's good. Now we come to the second song. Oh, here's an email, which you can email me at if you've heard me on the show. They will get forwarded to me. To Carol Lee, K-A-R-A, King, Alpha, Romeo, Alpha, Lima, Echo, Echo, Carol Lee at GaryNo.com, and they will forward the emails to me. Thank you so much. That just popped up right now. Thank you, Carol Lee. Thank you, Gary No. Thank you, everybody at PRN, and I love you guys. So now we come to the second song of the night. Now, I'm going to the Sundance, and I'm going to be going as like a tired old warrior. And we've talked about what the Sundance is, and I look forward to going and, first of all, being totally disconnected from the computer and the phone for 6 days. It's been so long since that. But in the sacred Black Hills of South Dakota. And it's all about healing between male and female. It's all between it's all about love. It's all about love. And I've been invited by my friend Gaguila Cook, I'll be introduced to the head dancers, and I'll be going to pray and to do Inipi sweat lodges and to share in the experience of dancers who are so dedicated. They have spent months preparing, and they will spend 4 days tied to a sacred tree dancing. And at the end of the 4 days, they will break back in very, very small pieces of wood put lightly through their chest will emerge to allow a male to symbolically share the experience of childbirth with a female. And I'm just so looking forward to that. I don't know what's going to be here when I get back, but I do know that spirit has been all over my life for a long time. I mean, I'm Forrest Gump, man. I'm a little big man. I've had so much shit happen in my life, and I've been through so much stuff. I've been ready to die a great many times. And I can tell you that I have that feeling now that this is the moment of truth. I can feel it in my gut and my heart. But I'm amazed at the beauty of a spirit that can weave things to happen so that I could be a part of this amazing band. And you know that I try to pick songs each week that are relevant to what's going on in the world. And as I looked and I thought, there is no other song that I could possibly think of that best describes the situation on June the 16th, 2013. Than this song from our album, Age of Authority. I wrote it with Doug Lewis. I sing the lead in it, and some of these verses just popped out of me spontaneously as we were writing the song, and this would have been back probably in February or so, January or February, but that this song should be ready now in an album that's going to be out probably in July, and that I should be playing it for you at this moment. It just gives me faith that there's something out there that knows a lot more than we do. Here's a song called Inner Reach.
All the street lights around me, in the wall-to-wall prison of my city, flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets. While my neighborhood is torn down around me, too many people on the zombie streets, and the sirens make an eerie sound around me. Makes me cold, makes me hot, makes me freeze. It's getting hard in the inner reach, ever strange beneath the streets. All around where all the light waves meet,
where all the light waves meet and dance in secret.
Kids with toys haunt the hallways, stuffing secrets up my sleeve. And the only country club around here the cold cement under my feet. Most days I feel like a drowning man in a sea of drunken thieves. While this world goes on in a whirl around me, people look before they speak. And it's getting hard in the inner reach of a strange beneath the streets. All around where all the light waves meet,
where all the light waves meet and dance in secret, enter into the age of authority. We enter into the age of authority. We enter into the age of authority.
When the explanations don't explain and the conclusions don't conclude, when answers don't answer and questions don't matter and everything has gone so rude, well, the stars incline but don't insist that everything is done in a dancing twist. Round where all the light waves meet and dance, and it's getting hard in the inner reach, ever strange beneath the streets, all around.
Trash, our new album, Age of Authority, should be released sometime in June. Hopefully people will buy it because we got everything sunk into it and we just want to see it done. We want to see it done with these messages delivered and these songs complete. And that's the way that a lot of people I see now are starting to live their lives in one way or another. You know, when I was doing the lecture circuit from 2000, all those years, 80 lectures, and it was roughly after the point that I understood that the collapse of industrial civilization was a certainty, which was about 2003, 2004. As I started doing these long, if you will, journeys into exploring this future that allowed me to write my two books and make so many of the predictions that have come so true, sadly. I recognized always that there was going to come a point in this scenario, in this overly complex world, this overly complex civilization of lies and disconnects, where people are trying so hard and discovering that the real issue is freedom. But there would come a point when it would be like somebody hit the puree button on the blender, and it would be like trying to follow a little piece of carrot through your smoothie as it was going. In other words, where things had broken down so bad that I guess Dimitri would call it social collapse. I would have a broader look at it than that. But where you couldn't keep track of anything, and where suddenly you find yourself on your own with only what you have around you. And what you have around you, what you have created in this time, will determine your journey out of that. It'll be between you and great mystery. It'll be between you and fate, you and what happens. And you will be taking into that situation hopefully a big kit of tools. And, a couple of years ago, I had flat turned down, God, I would have made a lot of money, to be the host of the show Doomsday Preppers. And I said, because it's not about buying as many baked beans as you can, digging up in a hole and waiting to die. Have you seen the road? It was about creating love. It was about creating connections to Mother Earth. It was about creating connections to people around you. And what I'm sensing and what I'm feeling, as tired as I am, and I'm glad I'm going to get some perspective while I'm away, what I'm sensing is that people are discovering the importance of love, is that people are discovering the importance of absolute fearless committed action, as the people in Turkey and Sao Paulo are demonstrating, and I'm sure many more are going to be demonstrating soon enough. Tonight, as Hezbollah, allied with Iran, has pretty much gained control of Aleppo, and as the U.S. gets ready to move for a no-fly zone in Syria, the Russians appear to be standing solid. The Turkish people appear to be standing solid. But I believe, and you know, just try this. I don't care whether you believe it or not, that if you spend about 5 or 10 minutes just sending your love and your support quietly to all the people in Turkey who are resisting this, who are the edge of the tip of our spear of human consciousness right now, that they will get it somehow. We don't have time to go through all the science for that, but that's what I believe. And I also believe that for all the years that I've been with you guys, I've done a pretty good job of hanging with you, man, on my post. And I'm not sure what's up for me next, but I think something new is up for me next. And I will go as a student, and I will go hungry for answers to the Black Hills, and really ask that that I be shown what I am to do next and what I am to bring back for you as a message. In the meantime, a week from today, God willing, and the river don't rise, I'll be back here with you on the Lifeboat Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. Good night, everybody.